have a confession to make. It's a big one. Bear with me. This is hard. I'm not much of a nature person. Yes, it's true. To be honest, I'm not a big fan. I just don't really like spending that much time outdoors. I'd much rather spend my time inside, curled up on the couch with a nice book and a cup of tea. Call me crazy, I don't like constantly dodging mosquitoes or river flies or wading through the depths of snow following an Arctic blizzard. Now, don't get me wrong, I think nature is beautiful and should be treasured. I certainly don't want to see it destroyed. I do like looking at it, but when I'm choosing where to spend my time, I choose the comfy couch indoors. So for me, when Unitarian Universalists talk about the seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, through the lens of nature, I find it harder to connect with. Yes, we all exist within an interdependent web of nature. And this reading can be expanded and refocused, focused on humanity. How do we experience life together as a collective body of humans? How do we influence each other's experiences of life? These are essential questions within Unitarian Universalism. Now, I do think it is a valid and important reading of the seventh principle as the interconnectedness of all nature and humanity, and I don't mean to diminish it at all. But because it's so heavily discussed, I wanted to focus in on how humanity is interconnected. We live in a post-Emersonian age of individualism. Unitarian Universalism itself is working to move from the individualistic community to the communal community, or the beloved community. In a meditation on the seventh principle featured on our denomination's website, the Reverend Forrest Gilmore writes, quote, "The seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence, is a glorious statement. Yet, we make a profound mistake when we limit it to merely an environmental idea. It is so much more. It is our response to the great dangers of both individualism and oppression. It is our solution to the seeming conflict between the individual and the group. Our seventh principle may be our Unitarian Universalist way of coming to fully embrace something greater than ourselves, the interdependent web, expressed as the spirit of life, the ground of all being, the oneness of all existence, the community forming power, the process of life, the creative force, even God. The interdependent web can help us develop that social understanding of ourselves that we and our culture so desperately need. It is a source of meaning to which we can dedicate our lives." End quote. Here, in this space, we are gathered in community. How each of us behaves here can affect the experiences of others. Following the service each week, everyone is invited to the fellowship hall after the service. This provides people with the opportunity to start or continue discussions about whatever is on their hearts and minds, maybe with a cup of coffee in their hand. This is why, as Reverend Christina and I talked about a few weeks ago, we make covenant. We agree to be in a space together, in particular ways, so we can fully live into community. We are not independent individuals. We are mutually dependent individuals. We rely upon each other. We are shaped by each other. We proclaim individuality and are communally oriented. So how do we begin to combat the individualism and the myth of independence within our faith? On some level, all UUs understand the interdependence of humanity. Unitarian Universalism is rooted in the understanding that spirituality is deepened through community. At its heart, Unitarian Universalism is necessarily communal. It is through community that we learn to live more fully into ourselves. One of the core traditions of Unitarian Universalism is the shared pulpit. It's the practice that allows me to stand here and speak to you now. With its focus on emphasizing all the voices of Unitarian Universalism, we make the statement that we are all seekers together. During the service, there's an opportunity for congregational response. This is another chance to engage with the practice of the shared pulpit. This practice helps to embrace the varied experiences of all into the service. Our spiritualities are intertwined with the faiths and spiritualities of others. In eighth grade, I was utterly confused about what I believed, as one might expect of a middle schooler. So, with some guidance from my family and from my congregation, I began exploring. My home congregation in Salem, Massachusetts, had a mostly Christian culture surrounding it, but I knew I wasn't Christian. As I was sitting in the old crimson-red tattered cloth pews lining this early Victorian Gothic church, a member preached. Watching her ascend the stairs to the pulpit high above the congregation, it was clear this service would be different. This was a turning point in my spiritual development. From the pulpit rose engaged a congregation in stories about the solstice and Wicca. Following services for the better part of a year, we would sit down together and talk. I was eager to learn about the faith of a self-proclaimed witch. What could be more interesting? I found I connected with a lot of what she had to offer, even though I didn't stay on that path long. Soon after, I began meeting with a mentor for a abridged version of coming of age. His name was George. We would meet in the church's equivalent of a fellowship hall, and together, sitting on the couches, we talked about spirituality and my relationship to Unitarian Universalism, as well as his. It was during these discussions that I realized what I actually believe corresponds more closely to Quakerism than it does to Wicca. What I mean to emphasize here is that my beliefs were formed and created through my interactions with others. Specifically, my interactions with others as they talked about their beliefs. My beliefs, while still mine, were dependent for their formation upon the beliefs of others. It was through these discussions and through community that I came to understand what I believe about the world. This is not to say that I believe what these people believe. I mean to say that these discussions helped me uncover what is in my heart. The community helped me live more fully into myself. Let's all take a moment. Center yourselves. You may wish to close your eyes or keep them open, but imagine one person who has influenced who you are or your spiritual self in some way. Hold that person in your mind. When you feel ready, and if you feel comfortable, call out that person's name and bring them into this space with us. Together, these people have come to shape who we are. They have influenced us and our community. Imagine the web of interconnection that exists. Keep thinking about that person you named. Then imagine those who have influenced and impacted them. go back further still to imagine those who have influenced the people who have impacted the person you named. The web of interconnection extends backwards in time and forwards into the unknown. Imagine for a moment a conversation you have had with another about your spirituality and how you may have impacted them. Some of you in this room may be thinking of others in this room. I know I am. Through my association with many of you in this congregation, I have grown more spiritually than I ever thought possible. To finish, I want to read the words of the Reverend Christine L. Harper, a UU minister in Barnstable, Massachusetts. Kristen L. Harper, excuse me. I do not wish to breathe another breath if it is not shared with others. The breath of life is not mine alone. I brought myself to be with you, hoping that by inhaling the compassion, the courage, the hope found here, I can exhale the fear, the selfishness, the separateness I keep so close to my skin. I cannot live another moment, at least not one of joy, unless you and I find our oneness somewhere among each other, somewhere between the noise, somewhere within the silence of the next breath.